Ladies and gentlemen, pay attention. This is your boy, the coach from the WWE. I would like to welcome you to the very first wrestling podcast in the world to take you on a weekly deep dive into classic matches along with legends of the squared circle. Enjoy the discussion. Enjoy the back and forth. There's so much to get into. Ladies and gentlemen, this is The Payoff.
Welcome to The Payoff. It's true. It's damn true. Jeff, how the hell are you doing?
You suck, my friend. You know, that's all you can say sometimes. It's just kind of get into it. I'm doing good, though. We are officially on the road at The Payoff here. This is exciting.
Did you ever think when that "you suck" thing started, it would never die? And when he came back years and years later, they would still chant it, even though he was a babyface.
But like that, like John Cena sucks. Like, you know, it's some, like, we are weird as wrestling
Kurt
fans.
Kurt Angle didn't suck. John Cena still does suck.
Yeah, that's fair. And so, yeah, and now he loves it. Like, he plays it up. It's what it, yeah, like that music hits, you're going to hear it. You just know what's going to happen. But yeah, it's good stuff.
Oh man, we got a lot to talk about. So, this is going to be interesting because when you bring up this match, we go to the obvious, oh, well, the botched finish, right? But there's so much more to this, to the feud, to Lesnar being gone a year later. Obviously we haven't talked a lot about Angle's career. We've definitely done more Brock matches. Yeah. Kind of a sneaky good second half of this pay-per-view. Jeff, I actually went back and watched this entire pay-per-view like a week ago. So it'll be fun to go through the card and kind of a, I don't know, little unsung hero of WrestleMania shows in some regards. Cool venues, some really good matches. So I'm pumped to cover this one. I'm pumped to actually watch the entire match. You know, it's like I've seen the finish 1,000 times, but I don't know how many times I've actually sat down and watched the entire match. Kind of like Brock being a baby face. I thought Angle is such a good heel at this time. So I'm really pumped for this one. What about you?
Are you one of those marks too that tries to watch as many WrestleManias as possible before WrestleMania happens?
Every fucking year. Yeah. So it is, okay, we're done with Royal Rumble, obviously. So right. Once like mid to late February hits, I go back and I start cranking out WrestleManias. I just watched WrestleMania 12. Last weekend, and I watched WrestleMania 19, and you know me, I'm a morning person. Yep. So like even on the weekends, I get up at an ungodly hour. So I come down to the basement, I throw on the network, I put on a WrestleMania, I drink some coffee, maybe get a little bit of work done. It's fantastic. So I told you, I was digging the old Saturday Night's Main Events. I went through and watched a bunch of those. I was watching some old Raws, but dude, once like February, March hits, once we're in WrestleMania season, I love going back and watching those. Really fun. And then I started watching some of the In Your Houses right before some of the WrestleManias. I love this. I can't get enough of it, you know. And then before you know it, though, it'll be the dog days of summer and it's tough to watch. Now, I will tell you this, and you and I haven't really talked about this. I am like almost no current product right now. I watch the pay-per-views from start to finish, but there's obviously been some recent title changes. I'm not watching it. I'm just reading the results. Yep. I'm like, whatever. I mean, it's even a chore just to fast forward through a 3-hour Raw on DVR the next morning. That still takes you 45 minutes.
Well, and as you and I are recording today, it was actually just today that it broke. Like, it looks like NXT is going to move to Tuesday nights. And then we're going to have AEW on Wednesday nights. And it has to deal with the NBC Universal dropping NBC Sports. And there's going to be hockey on USA on Wednesdays. And so it was going to fuck with NXT anyways. And so like just another day of the week. And then it looks like it. And this is, so when this airs tomorrow night is the, that first Dark Side of the Ring, like the, what is it? Dark Side of the Ring Confidential, where they get into with Conrad and he kind of sits and talks to the people on it and stuff like that. And so, you know, that's you know, there's a lot happening right now. We got, you know, Revolution was last night. We got Fastlane in 2 weeks. The rumors are, you know, there was the rumor that now we're going to get a takeover before WrestleMania that Thursday night. And so, and like, as the Friday is going to be the Hall of Fame, but who knows if they're going to do that and what's going to happen with that. Like, it's just, who knows?
It's insane. I'll tell you who I feel bad for are, you know, some of the, like, I, you know, I read Wrestling Inc. every day. I mean, if you're just sitting there trying to keep up with this stuff and like report on the news,
yeah,
I mean, it just doesn't stop. It's every single day. There is no off season. I mean, it's with like you. Every there, day there's something going on.
There's sometimes I will check like Wrestling Inc. In the morning, like you, and then like by midday, like the link that was at the top is like 15 links down. Like, oh, there's, yeah, just you're, so you much that's happened.
The entire first page and you haven't even read anything. I know exactly what you're talking about.
Right. Which I like the mobile because I can see it all. I like the layout on mobile, but like, yeah, like it, I'm with you. I totally agree with you, but why we're, yeah. Why, you know, why we're here today, why we're covering this one. It's definitely like, you know, it's our first match on WrestleMania. We covered, you know, definitely go back. You know, we covered something a little different last week with the WrestleFest episode. And that was exciting for us to talk about that one and Super World of Sports. But we're on the road now. You know, we're getting close. You know, Mania is a, you know, a couple weeks away at this point. You know, the card's actually starting to take shape a little bit, which is exciting. And so we wanted to cover as many WrestleMania matches as possible in the kind of lead up to this. And so I think when we kind of, you sent me the long list and then I parred down that and picked kind of the best matches from that time frame and what we wanted to do and cover and stuff like that. And then this was just the one where it kind of worked where we said, all right, this is what we're going with first. Let's do it.
We got some good ones, man. I'm pumped.
Yeah.
So we're pumped to cover it. We're getting ready. We're organized. As you know, we're at Payoff Pod everywhere. Follow, tweet, like. We appreciate the spreading the word of what we do here. And with that, let's get to the build.
Oh, it's time for the build.
All right, so here's the deal. I went back, I watched this show, a couple things. First of all, kick-ass venue. Remember, this was the first baseball stadium. So obviously, you know, we've gotten some Royal Rumbles in baseball stadiums, but this was the first one. I love the set. I love the way they did it. It looked cool. I bet you there were a ton of just really shitty seats if you went there. In fact, that's probably why they didn't go to bat. I mean, there were some of like the long shots they showed. I'm like, oh, and they didn't even have big screens up. So there were probably a ton of complaints from people that were up top for this one, but it was really cool. 54,000. Buy rate of 560,000. So it's WrestleMania 19. And Jeff, this was the tale of two shows, all right? So we had our first five matches, four on pay-per-view, and then we had our second four. So let's talk about the first half of this card. We start out with Matt Hardy, your Cruiserweight champion, defeating Rey Mysterio in 5 minutes. So, okay. Then The Undertaker, who's supposed to team with Nathan Jones, just sucked in the ring so bad that they did an injury angle with him. So it turns into The Undertaker defeating Big Show, who, Jeff, we're going to talk about later, and A-Train in a handicap match in 9 minutes. So Undertaker gets the Limp Bizkit. I was going to say Kid Rock, but it was Limp Bizkit, right? That was singing the Rollin', okay? It went on for, it felt like 15 minutes. It was a little long, but it was cool. Taker was pumped for it, but oh, was this match terrible. Then Trish Stratus gets the women's champion 7 minutes by defeating Victoria, who's the champion in Jazz. Again, Then we got a triple threat tag match, but this only was 8 minutes long. There was some great talent in this thing. Team Angle, which was Haas and Benjamin, they're going to keep their titles by defeating Benoit and Rhino and Los Guerreros. But again, 8 minutes, throwaway tag match. Ironically, a year later, Benoit and Guerrero are going to be holding the titles at the end of the show. So how much things change, right? And of course, Brock's having his final match, and Goldberg wasn't even around at this point because he debuted, I think, the night after WrestleMania 19. But again, just crazy stuff going on right now. Now we have four big matches. All of these matches were around 20 minutes or longer, right? So it's five matches. And it's just crazy how this happens. So we get this like really shitty undercard, and then we get five 20-minute matches to end the show. So the first one, Shawn Michaels and Chris Jericho. So the way they did this was, you know, Jericho idolized HBK as a kid, but then he, you know, kicked him in the nuts and turned on him. And now we're going to have a feud. Shawn Michaels, first WrestleMania back after retirement. So that was a big deal. Again, this is before he's even written Mr. WrestleMania. But they are hyping up that he had, you know, been in some big manias before. They have a great match. Shawn wins, roll up. Jericho attacks him afterwards. Just fantastic. Okay. Then we go to Triple H retaining his title against Booker T. This was, and we may even cover this in a future episode. This was just absurd. You know, they Booker T should have won the title in this, just the way the angle was, not good. But again, heavyweight championship, 20 minutes. Then we get Hogan defeating Mr. McMahon, a really fun street fight. I mean, it was, again, you forget how incredible McMahon's facial reactions were. Obviously, he was jacked up. Obviously, he was perfectly adequate in the ring. But him and Hogan both bleeding, beating the shit out of each other. McMahon does a leg drop off a ladder through the Spanish announce table. Hogan wins. He has a stare down with Shane after. Just good stuff, man. A lot of fun. It was just a perfect, you know, way to blow off this angle. I love that they, you know, built to the Hogan-McMahon thing so well. Then in the second to last match, we got the final match in the trilogy of The Rock and Steve Austin. The Rock is the heel again. He somehow managed to be the heel all three times these guys wrestled at WrestleMania, but he's doing the Hollywood thing. He has a different look. And he beat Steve Austin. Now, what we didn't know at the time was Steve Austin knew going into this match, he was done, but they didn't pump it up on commentary. You didn't really know. You kind of wish they would have, just because it would have added an element, but this was kind of the send off without even knowing that you were watching his final match. And then the reason we're here, Lesnar, Angle, Angle's your champion. So again, a really weird card, because the first half, a bunch of 6-minute matches, nothing happens. And then the back half of this, we have two championship matches, a Hulk Hogan McMahon match, Rock Austin and Austin's final match, HBK coming back in a classic versus Jericho.
You know something's up when The Rock Stone Cold is your bathroom match.
Interesting, isn't it? I mean, it was just a wild, you know, 2 hours or whatever that second half of the pay-per-view was. So
right,
that's all I got, man, on the card. A lot to talk about that was going on in the business and involving both Lesnar and Angle. But storyline standpoint, and this was a very good storyline. And the vignette before the match was fantastic. How did we get to Angle, Lesnar, WrestleMania? Lesnar's now a babyface. A lot happened very, very quickly, because this was still within Lesnar's first year in the business.
Yeah, it was interesting. Like a little bit over that. Yeah. So he actually debuted. It was March 18th, 2002. So pretty much a year and a week is how long he had been in the WWE at this point. So, you know, really, though, right out of the gate, though, started feuding with The Undertaker, you know, had a match with him. It was actually at Unforgiven, the double disqualification at that point. Brock had actually at this point. So when he debuted in March, by September, he had the title, but he actually won it at SummerSlam. And this was when he beat The Rock and Kurt Angle. And so right out of the gate, like, you know, making Brock just the absolute superstar. And so, you know, funny how we view him now, you know, in 2002, when he's debuted, like he's coming up on 20 years in the business. Like that's nothing to scoff at. And like motherfucker still has it. Like, however you feel about his storylines. Yeah.
And been on top for every minute of it.
had the belt for over a year recently. Like, yeah, just nonstop. And so, so you've got him this Unforgiven with the Undertaker, kind of, you know, retaining because of disqualification. Again, going out to take the Undertaker at No Mercy. This was a Hell in the Cell match. This is when you had the Undertaker's broken hand and the cast, and kind of, we've talked about this one a little bit before, and just kind of how it played out and things like that. But had him beating the Undertaker in a Hell in the Cell match, retaining the title, and their feud kind of came to an end at that point. So you had him retaining the championship. It was a handicap match against Edge at Rebellion, and then he started getting into the getting into it with the Big Show. Again, nothing really with Angle yet, but so kind of taking on the Big Show. Him, you know, Lesnar was first was, you know, trying to be talked out of defending it again by Heyman, but you also had Heyman kind of turning and teaming up with Lesnar as well. At this point, this is when Brock became, it was Survivor Series. Actually, this is when Brock became your face. And so, you know, and kind of working the good guy at this point. And so not that entire time, but you know, as Tom said earlier, this is when he kind of turned, but that was also that Survivor Series. It was his first pinfall loss in the WWE. And so for months, like, you know, really that first 8 months didn't take that pinfall loss. And so had that. But then after you had that, you know, Survivor Series, Heyman making it clear that Lesnar not getting a rematch, or special clause in the contract, of course, got to read those things close, things like that. But you had Lesnar interfering in the Big Show's first title defense, which was actually against Kurt Angle at Armageddon, which was December of 2002. And so you had actually Lesnar giving an F5 to the Big Show, which allowed Angle to win the championship. So this is where you get Angle starting to come into the picture. That following night, though, you had Angle introduce Heyman as now his manager. And despite, you know, promising Lesnar a title shot, declared that he was not going to give Lesnar that title shot. And so Lesnar kept kind of feuding, you know, it was really with Heyman and the Big Show. And that culminated really a match between the two of them at Royal Rumble. And so, and how that played out, and this is actually pretty good storytelling here, whoever won the match with the Big Show, or between the Big Show and Lesnar, got into the Royal Rumble that night. So you had Lesnar then beating the Big Show, BS, as he's now being referred to in AEW, kind of funny. And so, you know, winning that one, coming into the Rumble at number 29, eliminating a few people, finally eliminating the Undertaker, which would give him the win and the guaranteed championship match at WrestleMania 19, who at the time the champ was Kurt Angle. So yeah, a little bit more still happening and things like that. Yet after the Rumble, like Lesnar and Benoit actually teaming up to defeat Angle, like Angle and Team Angle. It was a 2-on-3 handicap match at No Way Out, which was February. And so, you know, just, you know, they were kind of, you know, still being in each other's world, but at its core, it started with winning the Royal Rumble, which is as it should be, kind of clear cut. You know what you're going to get for, you know, one of your main events or the main event at WrestleMania, plain and simple. And so going back a little bit, though, and rewinding a little bit, it was September. Angle was actually feuding with Chris Benoit. He lost to him at Unforgiven. And then you kind of had Stephanie Mann getting involved. There was a tournament to actually decide the WWE Tag Team Championships. Like at this point, Angle, he was actually, so when him and Benoit won the title at No Mercy, they actually beat Edge and Rey Mysterio. That was his, he became the fifth Grand Slam champion at this point. So Angle, you know, while Lesnar had just debuted less than a year earlier, Angle was, yeah, I mean, he's a Grand Slam. And so, you know, hard to kind of overlook that. That match actually, and I did not realize this as I was kind of doing my notes and things like that, that tag team match at No Mercy was actually the 2002 match of the year by the Wrestling Observer Newsletter. And so
let's cover that.
Yeah. And so I actually did add that match to our list. It's one for one day to kind of cover when we kind of, you know, get to a few, we got a few months here, but that's one that's definitely on the list. I did not realize just how good that match was. And so I did not go to look and see what the star rating was on that one, but it was definitely the match of the year. So, but interesting. And so, but if Benoit and Angle, even though they had the title, like kind of, you know, feuding backstage, kind of playing it up and things like that, like Tom said, there was some defenses, Los Guerreros, you know, successfully defending against them. They actually ended up losing the belts. They dropped it to Edge and Mysterio, who they had beaten for. It was a 2 out of 3 falls match on SmackDown, which is, I'm going to get it. We'll talk about it during the match, with some of these big matches that end up happening on SmackDown, just kind of odd. And so, or that SmackDown and Raw, we don't see that as much, but we'll talk about it during everything. So getting another chance at the tag titles, losing that as well too. And then Angle, so going into this match, like when did he actually win the title? It was at Armageddon. When Brock Lesnar helped him beat the Big Show. And so that's how we kind of get through to that. And so again, like there was the Team Angle stuff as well too. You know, kind of a little bit more of the, you know, tag angle and kind of playing that up. But you know, the biggest piece of this was just the Royal Rumble. Angle did defeat Benoit actually. So their tag team kind of broken up and kind of dealing that. So Angle retaining the WWE championship. He actually got Benoit to submit to the ankle lock. But then Brock then, you know, winning the Rumble that night, going on to take on Angle. And so just guys, you know, their paths crossing a lot here. There was a lot of different storylines had happening at this point. And so, you know, I picture like the, you know, the wall and like all the different yarn going to different people and things like that, because there were a lot of crisscrossing, a lot of different things happening here. And in a short time, you know, you take from really the, you know, the, that kind of late 2002 into the Royal Rumble, which would have been early 2003. Like it just made sense. Like there was just a lot happening, but it was good stuff.
Yeah, I mean, there was so much going on. You know, this is, and again, this wasn't the beginning of that era, but it kind of was, you know, early on where just so much flip-flopping of titles. You know, Brock debuts and he's world champion right away. Fine, you want to make a big impact. But then you do, you know, all that other stuff in the fall and somehow Big Show's fat ass gets involved and, you know, we're just shifting around titles and it was too much for me, man. And of course certainly hasn't gotten any better as we've seen. So it makes these things mean nothing. It makes the title switches mean nothing. I mean, even when we were growing up, you know, even in, you know, like the Attitude Era, if there was a title change, it was a big deal. Mick Foley winning the title on Raw was a big deal. You know, like you tuned in to see it. So,
yep.
Anyways, all right, let's get to the match. We are at WrestleMania 19 on the network. We're at the 3 hour and 18 minute mark on the dot. 3 hours, 18 minutes. Jeff, are you ready?
Let's do this.
All right, it's time for the payoff.
Ho! It's time for the payoff.
So I'll ask you the first question, I mean, that I kind of delayed on it.
Look at the two of these guys.
Yeah, just kind of get ready to go.
I mean, Angle's just peak condition, just jacked, and you know, Lesnar, I mean, obviously just in his physical prime, not that he doesn't still look great, but dude, look at these guys. And this is what you want. This is just a heavyweight championship main event, these two guys.
It's weird thinking Brock looks little.
Yeah.
Like compared to, you know, what we're, you know, used to seeing him nowadays, and it feels odd.
Yep.
So kind of first question for you as we're, yeah, you know, getting into this one, I can kind of ask of like, and there's a little bit in the aftermath. There was a little before, like these big title defenses on Raw and SmackDown. You know, this storyline was a SmackDown storyline, but yeah. is that something that's lacking right now? Do you think that's part of why we're not, you know, the big matches are reserved for the pay-per-views? Do you think that's good or bad?
Are you asking if like big matches should be on pay-per-views?
Or should we get more big matches on Raw and SmackDown?
Dude, it's like, it's weird because it's like a catch 22. I mean, I don't know. Like, I'll tell you one that I hated recently was the blow off to the Edge Orton storyline was like a 10 minute TV match with interference. That's right. How you blow off a year long feud. It makes no sense to me. So, I don't know. I mean, I'm a traditionalist in the sense of I like my big, long, important matches on pay-per-view. Now, I say all that, but keep in mind this company is receiving hundreds of millions of dollars a year in TV rights. Okay. Right. So Fox is like, we need a rating, you know? So, yeah, stuff needs to happen on our show. So it's like, selfishly, I almost wish there was nothing important on the TV shows. I could skip those and just watch a 4-hour pay-per-view once a month. But, around WrestleMania, you like to be surprised. You like to see, hey, could The Undertaker show up on Raw? You know, could Goldberg come back? You know, so it's like you kind of want to watch it. It is a little bit more important. But yeah, in general, man, I just like big matches on the pay-per-view, especially now in this era where you have over 3 hours. I just like the fact that, if a storyline needs to blow off and you want to give these two guys 25 minutes, give them a great 25 minute pay-per-view match. You're not rushed. There are no commercials. There's not a, 3-hour time limit for the pay-per-views. What about you?
It just feels like, to your point, it feels odd because even like the 24/7 championship, it first felt like something special that like it was on TV, but now like it could change hands 10 times in a night, or it's such a gimmicky, like, it breaks up some random match, but somebody running out because Bad Bunny needs to get the title. Like I still don't know who that is, but apparently he's popular with the demographic it needs to be popular in, but I guess that's the point. And so, kind of dealing with that. It's just, I don't get that, but yeah, I wish that we would, I would be more likely to tune in if we knew that there was like a match that was worth it. But even then, like, Bobby Lashley beats The Miz and that's it. Like, I was not invested in that whatsoever. And so like that piece of it just feels odd to me. So, the stakes are gone. And I think that's what we've talked about a lot on this show of like, there's zero incentive for me to tune in because I just feel like there's no stakes. And so do I wish we would occasionally get something that gets us talking about, like all of a sudden you get a 60 minute Iron Man match. Like, where the hell did that come from? Like, you get some of these, like all this crazy matches all of a sudden you don't normally see, whether that's helpful or not, who knows, but it's just odd. It really is. I don't know what the solution is.
Yeah, I agree with you. Have you been able to listen to Kurt Angle's new podcast yet?
I have it on my list, but I have not been spending as much time in the car. And so I have not had the opportunity to listen. I sent you the link about it and you were listening at the time. Right. But I did not listen to it yet.
Well, I've listened to all of them. A couple thoughts, really, I mean, good, interesting podcast. Obviously Conrad's great and Angle's a cool guy and, he's got some good insight too. And, he's kind of just letting it rip. So there's not a, it's not like Bruce Pritchard, who's working for WWE, might, choose some of his words a little carefully. So, mm-hmm. So Angle's been a great guest, or co-host, whatever you want to call him. One thing though, is how many episodes can you do? Like, I think they've only done 4 so far and you've had this match, you've had his debut, you've had his Shawn Michaels match, which was probably the greatest match of his career. They may have done one other episode. I just can't remember what it is, but it's like, I'm just trying to think, I'm like, how many more, I mean, how do you get to a year's worth of episodes? Like, I don't know if I'm going to listen to, I wrestled John Cena at Armageddon, 2003. Oh, I got to listen to that episode. So I'm just wondering if it could quickly run its course. I mean, obviously they'll start doing some like Ask Me Anything Q&A type stuff, but
right.
I just don't know what I don't know where you get to, 2 years worth of episodes, 104. I mean, you'll do some TNA stuff, but again, I don't know how many of those I'm going to listen to, even with like Bischoff's podcast. you know, they'll cover some of those old TNA shows. And I'm just like, eh, okay, whatever. I have no idea who you're talking about. So I'm behind on podcasts as it is. I have, you know, little travel or, you know, plane travel or car travel anymore. So, you know, some of this stuff, I'm just like, yeah, I guess if I had more time to listen to podcasts, I'd listen, but I find myself only listening to the ones that I'm, you know, interested in.
Yeah. And for those, you and I travel a lot for our shoot jobs, which used to travel a lot. We don't anymore. And so, yeah, we don't have that opportunity to listen like we used to. And so you got both guys outside the ring now, kind of Kurt, you know, taking Brock into the barricade, back into the ring at this point.
Well, but, don't forget that, you know, Angle was very hurt going into this match. I mean, his, you know, neck's all jacked up. I mean, he's just completely beaten down. So you can't even tell, you know, for the most part. I mean, it just, the guy just looks like he's in peak condition.
He's just out there. Yeah. Doing what he does. Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, the original idea was that they were going to take the title off of him before SmackDown, or on a SmackDown before this pay-per-view. And then they decided, you know, and Angle's convinced him that, yeah, I'm cleared and I'm good to go for this match. But man, he was just beat to shit at this point.
So let's start for a sec here too. You got the, you know, the Big Show is involved in this storyline, kind of leading up to it and the build of that. You actually just earlier today, the new Paul White shirt for AEW says no more BS on it, which of course, like,
pretty clever. That's pretty good.
More Big Show. That's pretty good. I think you and I have talked off the air, or at least, you know, texted about it a little bit, like bring it in. And it's been addressed even by Cody Rhodes, like bringing in the guys to AEW. You got Sting, you got the Big Show, you got the Jericho, like,
and those are all guys that are actively wrestling. I mean, then you have,
right,
you know, again, not that I'm saying there's not a place for them, but then you've got Tully and Arn and Jake.
Yeah,
DDP's been in there. You know, Jim Ross, who, you know, I mean, God love him, but he's in his 70s, and Shivani has been around forever. There's a lot of people there that have been around forever. So, you know, again, it's, and I don't like hypocrites in any walk of life. But it just, gosh, it just feels a little hypocritical to go, oh, you don't give the new stars a chance. And all. And it's like, you know, again, they're using Sting with other guys, and I mean, they'll get other guys over, but it's like, you know, I'm a Legends guy. I like it. Okay. I like seeing Sting. I like seeing Big Show, but it's just funny how if it were not AEW and it was WWE, it would be like, oh God, Sting's bald and he looks like he's 80 years old. But in in AEW, it's like, oh, this is awesome. This is so cool. You see it with Darby Allin. So, you know, again, it just feels hypocritical.
And I thought it was, because I think it was Cody that made the point. He's like, or even I've been in Jericho, I forget, of like, you know, how do you get eyes on the product? Like, you need these, some of these names of, you know, you need Sting, you need, you know, Jericho, you need, but the problem is,
but everyone bagged on WCW when they did that. Oh, they just bought, you know, they just bought stars that are washed up from WWF and they put them on their TV. What's the same strategy they used? But everyone bags on that. So what's the difference with Bischoff? Hey, let me tell you this. What's the difference between Bischoff using Turner's money and Tony Khan using his dad's money?
Right. Yeah.
And you know they're paying these guys a fortune too, right?
They have to be.
Oh, they've gone on record and said it. Like, the money's really, really good. I mean, it's the most money Chris Jericho's ever made in his professional wrestling career.
So, and how much is he wrestling compared to what he was doing on WWE's schedule? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Well, so. And I wonder, and even I wonder, like, I don't mind it at this point, though. I do mind, like, you hear about, like, oh, Sting, like, taking a bump and he's padded and all this other stuff. Like, that is too much of the, you know, I don't want to hear that. Like, you know, at that point you start, you know, potentially risking injury, which they know their bodies better than, you know, we know our own, you know, so kind of dealing with that, I can understand, but I don't know. It's just, yeah, I don't mind them doing it, but it's just got to be done right. And things like that. Like, Jake the Snake as a manager is like fucking terrifying to me, which I think that's fantastic though. Like, yeah, terrifying in a good way. Like, that's how it should be. You know, and kind of doing all that. And so, because he was terrifying as a wrestler in the ring, and so I still, you know, a lot of people still associate him that way. So yeah, so
Angle is attacking. I mean, these guys are just working so stiff. I Jeff, I don't know if I've ever seen a pro wrestling match look so real, if that makes any sense. Like,
yeah, it's, and just, it's like very strong just, style. Yeah.
Yeah. It's just, this is fantastic.
And so, yeah, Kurt like drooling in the ring, like just needs to sell it. Yeah.
Yeah, so the Legends thing, yeah, I'm okay with it. But again, you if you're okay with it, you got to be okay with it. You can't be like, oh, Goldberg's back, that's so stupid. But oh man, yeah. Sting, it's great. You know, it's like you either like it or you don't like it. You know, interestingly with Big Show, a couple things. First of all, he was in the WWF for 22 years, just crazy to think about. And I know sometimes he's part-time and took some time off, but what a long run. But in those 22 years, give me the match that I need to go watch about the Big Show. Tell me the angle that was incredible. It's like the guy was there for 22 years and he didn't do anything. And again, hell of a nice guy. I don't, you know, I'm not trying to put him down or anything, but they just never were able to use him effectively. Like, it's so weird because if you're like, tell me about the Big Show's big career moments, I'll hit you with a few WCW things. I'll tell you about his debut. And then that's like it. What am I going to do? Be like, oh, well, you know, the whole thing with like the Big Boss Man dragging his father's casket or whatever. Like, I don't know what Big Show stuff. I'm like, oh, you got to go back and watch this. It's like the most memorable stuff he did was in WCW. And some of it was terrible, but you remember it. And then his debut, which was pretty cool. But then after that, you know, they just never used him right. They tried to make him just a regular character when I think he should have been more of an attraction. Obviously, so, he did himself no favor by adding all that weight.
So I just pulled up real quick. This is the Big Show's five biggest career defining matches. You got his last man standing match against Roman Reigns, Extreme Rules 2015. You had the Big Show Brock Lesnar Survivor Series 2002. That was for the championship. Another championship match, Big Show versus Sheamus in the Hell in a Cell 2012. The triple threat match for the WWE Championship, that was Survivor Series 1999.
Yeah, he actually won it. It was terrible.
He won that one. And then his biggest career defining moment, which I get it here, it was Big Show versus Floyd Mayweather.
Yeah, I mean, big payday, probably the most he ever made for
now. And this is not
bad either, but
this is not a best matches. This is career defining.
Yeah.
So, you know, but yeah, either way. Yeah. So
21 years. I mean, it's not a lot there.
So you got Angle doing Angle Slams now. These guy just, you know, or the suplexes, just kind of tossing each other around and things like that.
Oh no, they're absolutely tossing each other around. I mean, it's just like crazy.
So, and this says his best match, and so we're happening right around this time, was Vengeance 2003, the Big Show F5. Versus Brock versus Kurt Angle.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I don't know.
But to your point, yes, like what is the match that defines it? So Kurt getting the ankle lock locked in at this point. Yep. This was, I always thought this was a great submission. Like Kurt sells it better than like so many, like his selling of it, the move made me feel like I would never ever, like it was terrifying. Like you'd never want to be in an ankle lock.
Yeah. And then like, I mean, you see how he's kind of like reversing it now. And like, there's some stuff. I love, it looks stiff. Like you actually are like, yeah, he's got him. I mean, go watch the one of him and Shawn Michaels. I mean, I'm like, I it looks like he's going to break his fucking ankle. I mean, you know, I'm sitting there and you know, so you lose yourself in it. I love how it's one of those where you can hit it from anywhere. Right. So like, you know, you can grab anyone at any point and put them in it. Yeah, it's a great finisher.
Well, and you figure there's very little, like I say, like tension on who's getting it. Like, you know, it's almost like a rest hold to a degree. Like, you know, it's just not that crazy of a hold, but how, you know, him being him and how he sells it, like hey, that's what it's all about. And so, and again, just pounding him, Jesus.
Oh, I remember the other, I think Angle's other podcast was about his retirement match against Baron Corbin. I'm telling you, they've like talked about like four of the, like, you know, five topics I'm interested in hearing. So I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe there's way more stuff. I feel like this might, you know, come out strong and then get a little long in the tooth.
Who knows, yeah.
Yeah.
So you got Kirk, Kirk got flipped out to the outside now. So we're dealing with that. Brock trying to catch his breath. Yeah.
You know, the other, I'll tell you, just Angle talking about his like final run. Oh my God.
Stiff as hell right now. That's the reaction you got. Yeah. In the corner, Kurt was pinned in the corner and Brock just, you know, going into his back, just kind of slamming into him. And then Kurt, like at this point, we're what, 10 or 15 minutes in and just a giant suplex from Kurt to Brock, toss Brock across the ring.
Yeah. And you don't see anybody throwing Brock around. You're probably never going to see that happen again. The rest of his
ever career. Again. Yeah. Right. Yeah, I thought the only one that could have been done it was Keith Lee, and they seem to have cooled on Keith Lee. So yeah, I don't think that's going to happen.
They have soured on him. All right, we got an ankle slam.
Nope, couldn't get it.
All right, did not get the ankle slam.
We keep going.
I mean, this is just a war. They had other good matches, too. They had an Iron Man match on SmackDown. It was the first Iron Man. I think that was the first, you know, there's only been a handful of Iron Man matches ever. It's like the one thing they haven't actually overdone. Right. I'm trying to think like Iron Man matches. These guys had one. Sean and Cena had one. Actually, I don't know if they had an Iron Man match. I just think it was like an hour long match. Brett and, I'm just watching the match. Brett and Sean, obviously. Triple H and Rock. It was like the only four Iron Man matches I can think of. I'm probably missing one, but there haven't been a lot. All right, is this enough?
That was a three count. Like, yeah. He definitely tapped three. It was not a three count, but yeah, that Kyoto.
So the fans are up now. I mean, they're into this one. I mean, again, it was a long kind of like second half of the show, and obviously you get burned out at these things, but like they're...
And this was the attendance record, just over 54,000. And that is a true number. That is not a WWE number. Yep.
Another ankle lock. There you go. You love that.
Going at, again, like just him, like the screaming, like, you know, how he's got it. Like, you know,
look at the ankle. It's enough. I mean, it really looks like, you know.
I remember this was the move I'd put my brother in. Because I thought it was so terrifying. Like, you know, when him and I would fuck around though, like I would actually try and break his ankle, but like these guys, like, you know, how he's doing it. Like, yeah, it's just not there. So they're both prone on the mat and Kurt just has it locked in and Brock trying to get away and crawl to the ropes. Yeah.
I don't mind bringing this up because he's been on record many times of talking about, but have you ever heard the pill quantity in terms of how many painkillers Angle was taking a day?
Oh my gosh. Yeah. It was insanity. Yeah.
I don't even know how you get your hands on this many pills and how you transport them. It was like a bottle a day.
Like it's
50 painkillers. I don't even know how a body could tolerate it. I don't know how you even traveled with them or got your hands on them.
I don't, not only that, but then like, you know, how he's still functioning.
Oh yeah.
Oh, quick roll. Yeah, he got the roll up real quick though. After Brock tried to get some momentum and Kurt again, these guys have been nonstop.
This is
like
an awesome match.
There has been no downtime whatsoever in this match. Again, get him up for the F5. Here we go. Finally, maybe gonna put the cap on this one. Getting the F5. There you go.
Is that the third F5 or second?
Second.
I just can't get to cover him quick enough.
Nope. And so Brock, yep. Just it's selling it at that point. Yep.
Oh no, this isn't it. Is it?
We gotta be close. It's gotta be soon. Yep.
I mean, so, oh God, here you go. Okay. So I'm going to play the sound on this, but dude, I mean, look where Angle is in the ring.
How far away he is. He's three-fourths of the way away.
This is a big ring, too. These were bigger rings than, like, ECW had. Oh, my God. I even forget just how far. I mean, look how far. I mean, like, that's too far for, like, a splash.
Yeah. Oh, God, it's so. And the fans know like how bad it went. Going for the shooting star press, not getting it. Well, getting it, but. And Brock, you know, he's concussed at this point. Trying to shake it off. Yeah, you know, it landed on the top of his head. God. The ref checking on him.
Just, I don't know how he didn't realize, like, God, this guy's just so far away. I need to go grab him. And he would have been fine if he wasn't so far away. It's not like Lesnar screwed it up.
Right. And the fans know, like, just, here we go, another F5. Oh, I almost feel like Brock just collapsed thereafter. Like he just couldn't get his bearings. Yeah. This is one of those, like you heard the Undertaker, like he just, nobody's home. 1, 2, 3. There you go. Brock gets it. The quick finish. I wonder, cause we're going to talk about it being improvised. I could not find anywhere. And we'll talk about it in the aftermath, what the finish could have been. I don't know if Kurt talked about it on the podcast.
No, that was supposed to be it.
Oh, what? Oh, see, I had read that was the improvised finish. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No. The real finish was just supposed to be, he was just going to hit him with the shooting star press, and that was it.
Got it.
All right. So let's get into the aftermath.
Ho! It's time for the aftermath.
So, initial thoughts.
That was sitting through that whole thing, like, and I've always said, like, Shinsuke Nakamura versus Sami Zayn and like how their kind of strong style match that they put on at TakeOver is one that I would like show someone, like a wrestling match. Brock is, I'm still watching it. Brock, the lights are not on, but he is not home. Mm-hmm. I would show this match as one, if someone's like, show me like, you know, a WWE wrestling match that is like good wrestling, like, and what it could be. This is one where there is not a lot of, you know, flips. There's not a lot of, you know, flying, like it's just strong wrestling. That's all it was.
Yeah. You know, gosh, I'll talk about it in my payoff score, but the ending just killed it. You know, I mean,
yeah,
your feeling on that match is completely different. If he hits that 1, 2, 3, I mean, the place would have just gone nuts, but instead they're shocked. And then, you know, it was obviously like a improvised finish that kind of ruined everything. So it's a shame, man. It could have been one of the best of all time, but instead it's infamous instead. So
yeah.
Yeah. What happened with these two afterwards?
Yeah. So what do we get into, kind of what's happening, things like that. So you have, you know, Lesnar defeating Angle to win what at the time was his second WWE championship. Of course, you know, botching the shooting star press, which it was a move he had used a lot in OVW, which is where it kind of came from that, but landed on his head and neck, kind of how he, you know, it just torqued it, and you know, got a concussion. You did Angle. This was actually had a broken neck during this match, as Tom kind of said and alluded to. Like I said, my notes said they kind of improvised the finish. It should have been the shooting star press. They had to add the F5 after the fact. But both guys actually kind of celebrating, hugging in the ring after as well too. So kind of ending that. So after Mania, they had a little bit of a feud beforehand, but Lesnar actually taking on John Cena. Cena returning from injury actually in February, just a month or two before WrestleMania actually occurred. It was actually an F5 into a ring post from Lesnar, kind of playing up the, you know, Brock almost ending his career because of that. And so they had a match at Backlash. It was actually Lesnar then beating Cena to retain the championship. And then the following night, we get back to BS, the Big Show, him getting into a match or, you know, going back to his rivalry with the Big Show, and kind of having that. And so you had Big Show attacking Rey Mysterio as well too during this time. And so this was also the infamous, like, swinging the backboard Rey Mysterio into the ring and kind of, you know, having to deal with that. Big Show calling, or excuse me, Lesnar calling out Big Show, putting the title on the line. It was actually the stretcher match at Judgment Day that May, Lesnar retaining. And so you're getting that. They had a a rematch then. It was just about a month later. It was on SmackDown, and this is where you got the infamous, whatever you want to call it, the Big Show, Brock, the ring imploding spot after a kind of top rope superplex. So, which I did go back and watch that one after, you know, just to kind of see it. It was
one of the coolest visuals in the history of wrestling.
Yeah, and I hate how it's telegraphed now, because you'll spot it on Twitter, because the easy tell is if they don't have the electronic ring boards, you might be in for a, you know, ring explosion that night. And so my brother he always appreciates a ring exploding spot. And so this is one that, you know, one of the best, absolutely. So you had that, but then you had actually Kurt Angle returning from neck surgery and becoming really just a little bit of a rivalry with Kurt Angle, but also being allies as well too. And so you had Lesnar though losing the championship to Angle. It was a triple threat match with the Big Show after he was pinned by Angle. So, you know, these guys, a lot of storyline happening with these guys for the better part of a year, like these guys, you know, somehow being involved with some. And this is the kind of match though that I kind of was, you know, talking to a little bit during, you know, this match was it's SummerSlam. After retaining the championship against Lesnar at SummerSlam, he actually got him to submit to an ankle lock. He actually lost the title to Lesnar. It was a 60-minute Iron Man match on SmackDown. And so just kind of interesting after like all of the, you know, they had this match at WrestleMania and they end up in a 60-minute match on SmackDown too. So, and then there was the team Angle, and Lesnar Survivor Series stuff as well too. And so these guys, I mean, really, these guys were just in each other's universe for the better part of a year. Like, you know,
it's hard not to, because you know they're going to have great matches. You know there's great chemistry there. I mean, you know, you get why you do it, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. So it just makes sense and kind of, you know, dealing with that. And so, so reviews ready?
All right, let's hear them.
So, PWI, Brock was number one, 2003. And obviously, you know, these guys all the way up through Survivor Series and a little after, you know, feuding. Brock was one. Kurt was three. I forget who number two was, but you had Kurt with three. And also Kurt, the most popular wrestler. And this was the feud of the year. And there, oddly, it was not this WrestleMania match, but the match of the year that year was the 60-man Iron Man match. And so just interesting how that kind of, you know, these guys, so that's one too. We're going to have to, you know, while we won't watch it here, 60 minutes, we might have to cut it down and catch part of it or something like that. But, you know, that's one that these guys in that September after the Mania match just went off and had another one. So, you know, kind of writing, the big write up here from the Wrestling Observer newsletter, which the Pro Wrestling Torch, there was a missing article here. So I don't want people to think I did not look it up, but the article was actually missing from this WrestleMania. So, there was a couple others around it, but this one was not there. But so the Observer newsletter though, kind of having this one. So just the kind of overall write up, for the fans, all that counts is that WrestleMania was a phenomenal show. Of all the WrestleManias, it probably ranks number two, only behind WrestleMania 17.
I don't know about that.
So a few early matches were rushed or not good at all. Time was wasted with non-wrestling segments that fizzled. Of all people, Trish Stratus got some momentum going, and Michaels and Jericho's put the show into overdrive, where it largely stayed for nearly three more hours. You can have a four-star patch on a pay-per-view and people forget it 2 weeks later. Have the same match at WrestleMania and people remember it almost for a lifetime. Nobody is more aware of it than the wrestlers for whom this really is like their Super Bowl. After all, he decided months ago he was going to have the match of his career at WrestleMania and put Brock over like $1 million. A few weeks ago, those hopes were dashed and alternative plans were made, but Angle changed his mind. He went into the ring with limited strength on the left side of his body and a neck in which he had ignored the pain for longer than he let anyone know, killing him. Austin was carried by The Rock, but succeeded in putting on a great match. Angle held nothing back and carried Lesnar to what, if it had gone right, would have been talked about as a match of the year, but things didn't go perfectly. Agreed. And so again, getting into the, it's a, either he slipped slightly or didn't get the spring on takeoff, which was disastrous. He landed short right on his forehead. Angle alertly seeing the spot blown, cradled him right away for a near fall, which got the crowd away from the totally understanding the effect of what he had just seen. Angle told Lesnar to F5 him, and Lesnar managed to get enough power to pull the move off and get the pin, and then collapsed in the ring. Things looked scary as they went off the air, as Lesnar couldn't stand hanging onto the rope, so Angle sold that he was dead as well. It was quite the unplanned, dramatic ending to the show. Angle got up and hugged Lesnar, and this time it wasn't a swerve. The television audience was never given any explanation as to why. The show went off the air with Lesnar glassy-eyed and with blood coming from his nose, 4.25 stars. Tom, go.
4.25, is that what it was?
Yes.
So... really strong build. Things were going so well. Really strong aftermath. You know, great feud. But this match was just underwhelming. And what should have been a crazy ass finish in terms of the move and the place would have gone nuts. I mean, to me, that takes this thing from like a 9 down to a 7.5. I mean, this was really good, but it wasn't great. And, you know, I it wasn't even the best thing on this show. And it closed the show, you know, with the talent of the two guys. You're almost cursed because the expectations were this were so high. So, I think they got it right in some other matches, like that Iron Man match. But as far as this match, you know, collectively everything goes, I got it at 7.5. What about okay. you?
I'm going to go at 8.5. I feel like, yes, the botch kind of, it doesn't fuck things a little bit, but I can't let one move ruin what was a really good build and what was a nonstop match up until that point. And so, yes, did the botch help it? No, not at all. But I feel like, you know, I'm not going to let that one spot ruin it for me. So, yeah, 8.5. I think that's fair. Yeah, you know, I had that not happened and it finished like it was supposed to, I'd probably give it a 9. I still wouldn't go much higher than that, but I think at 8.5, you know, that's kind of right where I'm at with this one. It makes sense for me, I think. So, yeah.
Sure.
Final thoughts? What do you got?
Really, you know, really liked it. It was fun to cover. Disappointing ending. Just forgot how much I love these guys. They're both great, and it was fun to see them together. Yep. So yeah, I it was good, man. It was good. What about you?
Good. I know we got another Kurt Angle match on the docket with your favorite in a few weeks here, and so WrestleMania 21. So we got
I got to tell you, I watched that match maybe a year ago, if even. It is so fucking good.
Yeah,
it is such a good match.
We got that one, and then next week too, we got the Brothers of Destruction going against each other, and so we got some good stuff playing here. We're on the road, you know. That's what I'm excited about. You know, it's just good things happening, and like Tom said on the front end, like at Payoff Pod, you guys know where to find us. It's always exciting. You know, we see the retweets, we see the messages, things like that, all the comments and things like that. Like when Tom and I, you know, we appreciate that stuff. Keeps us kind of going during all these crazy times and things like that. And so we're on the road, and then yeah, we'll just see what happens here.
Well, we know everyone's driving a little less, and so as you're listening to this, we appreciate you fitting us into your podcasting schedule.
Sure.
Yeah, thank you as always for joining us on The Payoff.